Well, good evening and welcome now to our evening worship service. Just a few announcements. Due to take place tomorrow, funeral of I've been working on a seating plan and it's filled up. I'm not sure we will be able to use upstairs. It may be that the church hall will be available if it's not being used at all after the funeral. Then it can be free during the time of the funeral, and the sound should be relayed out into the car park. But all of these things depend on things working. So hopefully we can pray that things will work and that everybody will be able to hear one way or another. Wednesday evening, then, is the session meeting here in the church hall at 8 o'clock. Friday evening, 8 to 9:30, is a senior CY. Next Lord's Day, Sabbath school classes at 11, and worship services at the usual times, but not the usual preacher. I'm due to be in Knockbracken, and it's Reverend Tom McKendry who's due to take the services here in Caratz. Those are the announcements I have, and now we'll come to God in worship. We join in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. O Lord, our Father, we look to you now as the God who made all things, and we look to you, O Lord, as the one who was around a long time before any of us ever came into this world. We praise you for all the people who have lived and died before our time. And we thank you for many of them who looked to you as their Lord and God. And we pray now for your help this evening as we seek to worship you again. We pray that as we look to your word and as we see the instructions that your word gives us for the kind of people that you want us to be, we pray that you would put those things into our hearts, that we would want to be what you delight in. And we ask, Lord, for forgiveness now for all our sins. We pray that you will draw near again to those who are unwell, to those who are mourning. We pray for some who are away at present and that you'll be with them in their different situations. And we ask, Lord, now that you will be with us in this time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read from God's Word, first of all in the Gospel of Luke. I've got two readings in Luke's Gospel and one in 1 Corinthians. So we begin in Luke chapter 14 and reading from verse 7 through to verse 14. Luke 14 at verse 7, page 924 in our church Bible. Let us hear God's Word. Jesus is the one referred to, and it says, "So he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, 'When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, "Give place to this man," and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, "Friend, go up higher." Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And then turning over a few pages to chapter 18, Luke 18 at verse 9. Parable of the Lord Jesus, Luke 18 at verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then reading also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 6, verses 6 to 13, page 1014. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. And we end our scripture readings there at that verse in God's word. Well, I want to speak this evening on the subject of humility. And all of those passages that we read have something to say to us about humility. Humility is part of the work of God the Holy Spirit. Humility is one of those qualities that God delights in. Humility is something that was present in our Lord Jesus Christ. And humility is entirely a good thing, and it is commanded again and again in the Scriptures. People in recent times have begun to talk about being humbled whenever they have won some award or other. Perhaps it's an honor that has been conferred by the Queen. Perhaps it's in the film industry and someone wins one of the many awards that are there to be won, or in the music industry. Perhaps it's an award-winning author or a sports person. And they receive the reward and they have to say something whenever they receive it. And often they'll say that they are humbled to receive the reward. But to me, it doesn't really seem as if they are humbled to receive the reward at all. It actually often appears that it's the very opposite of that, that they are proud of their achievement, and yet they say that they're humbled. They believe that it's something they've worked hard for, that's something they deserve. Well, are they humble or are they proud? And what about us? Are we humble or are we proud? It's important to know what the inclination of our own heart is, because the Scriptures teach us that God opposes the proud, but that He gives grace to the humble. And so I want to think about humility, and to do so, thinking along three different lines. First of all, thinking about humility before God, then humility regarding ourselves, and then in the third place, humility towards others. So God, ourselves, and others. First of all, then, humility before God. And true humility is rooted in our attitude to God Himself. And it is thoroughly right and fitting for all of us to be humble before God. If we're anything other than humble before God, we have no spiritual understanding at all. Remember what the Lord Jesus taught in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We're told that that parable was spoken to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And the Pharisee that Jesus tells us about in his parable, he was not a humble man. He was a proud man. He drew near to God with an expectation of receiving commendation from God. He expected a good hearing from God. He expected God would be glad to be hearing from him, because he was convinced that he had done well. And so we're told that he prayed with himself, and he said, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, like the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or even as this tax collector." And then he blew his own trumpet, and he said, "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And of course, the implication was, these folk don't do the kind of things that I do. And as a man that's just full to the brim of self-praise, a man that felt that the world would be such a better place if there were only more people just like him. And he was confident that God would surely think exactly the same thing. There's no humility here in this man. He is a man who doesn't see that he has much to be humble about at all. But in the parable, Jesus tells there is also the tax collector, and he's very different. He is humble, and he believes that he has a lot to be humble about, a lot to be humble about when he comes before a holy God. And he's not comparing himself to other men. He's conscious that he's in the presence of utter holiness. And we're told that standing afar off, he would not so much as raise an eye to heaven. But he beat his breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me." And he really says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Not just a sinner, but the sinner. And this man is like all the people that we're told of in the Scriptures, who get some kind of glimpse of the glory and greatness of God. Here's a man, and he cannot look up. He knows that he, a man like him, does not belong in the presence of God. And all that he can ask for is mercy. The last thing in the world that this man wants God to give him is what he deserves. Because he knows that he deserves the punishment of God. And so he says, God, be merciful to me. And the Lord Jesus explains his parable. And he says that it was the tax collector who went down to his home justified rather than the other man. Jesus says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. And the more we understand of the majesty and the perfection of God, and the more we see the sinfulness of our own hearts and actions, the more humble we will be. And this is where humility must begin. Humility begins before God. We don't compare ourselves to other people, but we have to compare ourselves to God. And when we do that, there's not room for anything other than humility. Humility before God. Then in the second place, I want to think about humility regarding ourselves. When we begin with being humble before God, we recognize that even the very best things that we have done don't make us fit to be in the presence of God. And that humility needs to be with us also when we're not consciously comparing ourselves to God. And if we have a right humility rather than a false humility, we will see ourselves in the proper light. And those who are truly and properly humble carry with them the awareness that that all they are and all that they have come from God Himself. That the things we have and the things we are all down to the grace of God. And in regard to that, the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians are a good guide. And he speaks to his readers about not being followers of men. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's in chapter 3, verse 6. Wasn't that Paul was special? Wasn't that Apollos was special? It was God who gave the increase. And then in chapter 4, he writes to them so that none of them will be puffed up, he says. And he says, who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? And he says, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And Paul didn't boast about his own achievements as if he was a self-made man. He knew that all that he had received from God. The gifts that he possessed came from the gracious hand of God. The opportunity to use those gifts also came from the gracious hand of God. And any success he had in using his God-given gifts, that also came from God's gracious hand. It was God who gave the increase. And Paul recognized that all that he had received. That was something I recall being emphasized at the funeral of Dr. Hugh Blair a number of years ago, that he often referred to these words of Paul. And he acknowledged that everything that he had in life had been given to him by the Lord. And Paul's humility comes out again and again in the things that he writes. And he never makes any unfavorable comparisons between himself and those unbelievers that he was seeking to reach with the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul describes himself as less than the least of all the saints. In terms of those who are the saved people, he's less than the least of them. And in 1 Corinthians 1:15, he refers to himself as being the chief of sinners. And knowing what a sinner he himself was gave Paul great hope that God could save other sinners as well. If God had saved him, then there was no one that Paul could imagine that would be too difficult a case for the Lord to save. And we should seek to have that humility in regard to ourselves, in regard to whatever gifts we may have, and in regard to any achievements that God ever grants us in life. All of our abilities are gifts from God. All of our achievements come because God has been at work through us. God has given us opportunity to use our gifts. And young people growing up, as they win prizes perhaps in school or in girls' brigade or in clubs that they attend, in music classes or whatever it might be, they need to remember that it's not because they're better than others, but it's because God has given them these abilities. And we should be thankful to God for how He blesses us. And we shouldn't boast about how great we are, but rather about how kind and how generous God has been to us. We don't have anything that we haven't received. It's all of His goodness. So there's humility before God, and then there's humility regarding ourselves, how we think of ourselves. But then the Scriptures also teach us about humility toward others. And all Christians know that God has been wonderfully good to us. We know that we deserve His condemnation, and instead we receive His salvation. And we see His ongoing grace in the things that He enables us to do in life. And that humility is meant to extend outwards then towards others. And I'll mention three ways in which this is the case. First of all, humility towards others in terms of honoring others. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." And that means that we are to treat others as being more important than ourselves. We're not to be self-seeking, but we are to be humble. In Luke 14, Jesus is at the home of one of the rulers of the Pharisees, and we're told in verse 7 that he noted how they chose the best places for themselves. And Jesus said that instead we should choose for ourselves the very lowest place that we can find. And Jesus utters again those words that whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We are to honor others rather than honoring ourselves. We are to see others as being more important than ourselves. Humility is also shown through serving others. And Jesus taught the importance of this, but he wasn't teaching something that he himself was not doing. Jesus was willing to occupy the lowest place. He told others that they should be willing to occupy the lowest place. But that's what he did. Jesus was willing to be the servant of others. John 13, he was the one who rose from the table to be the servant, to wash the dirty feet of the disciples. And the scriptures teach us that Jesus came into this world not to be served, but to serve. And he does that throughout his life on earth. And Jesus says in John 13, verse 15, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And we are called upon to serve others because that's what Jesus has done. We are to follow his example. We are to be servants because he was a servant. And we are to do it not so that we will receive praise, but so that God himself will be praised. 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. God may be glorified. Do it in such a way that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are to serve others. In doing so, we do the will of God, and in doing so properly, we bring honor and praise to the one who deserves it, to the Lord himself. So we show humility towards others by honoring them and by serving them. And then also, we show humility towards others by learning from others. Apollos in the New Testament was a very clever man. He was a very gifted teacher. He knew a lot, and he could teach others a lot, but he was also a humble man. And he was ready to learn from Aquila and Priscilla, the tent makers. We find that in Acts chapter 18. He was willing to learn from anyone who could teach him in the things of God. And so in the church today, we need to be willing and ready to learn from one another. And God doesn't give any of us a full understanding of anything at all. We need the wisdom of others in order that together we grow in our understanding. A person who is proud avoids learning from others. A proud person thinks there's not much anybody can teach me. But the humble person is ready to listen, ready to learn, and believes that God can use all sorts of different servants of his to teach about the Lord and his word. So we are to be humble towards others by learning from them. And the scriptures call upon us to show consistent humility in all of life. We're to see it. We're to show it in terms of our attitude to God, in how we view our own achievements, and in how we see other people. Now, the Apostle Peter writes, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, he says, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And in those words of Peter, we're reminded that humility is something in which there is something for us to do. We're commanded to humble ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us. We have to do it ourselves. We are to humble ourselves. And that's a choice that we have to make. But then God, in turn, God does the work of clothing us with humility. And we have to walk into the shop, but it's God who clothes us. We have to pursue humility, but God clothes us with humility. And that's what God, the Holy Spirit, is working in his people throughout the earth. He does it in all sorts of different ways, teaching us to be humble, showing us that this is good. The Lord clothes us with humility. And as we're clothed with humility, we receive more grace, because God is always in the business of opposing the proud, and he's always in the business of giving more grace to the humble. So the scriptures teach us that we are to humble ourselves. And no matter what we have accomplished in life, God calls upon us to humble ourselves, and he will exalt us. And humility is something in which God delights, something that we are to pursue. And so let us seek to remember how important this matter is. Amen. Now we look to God in prayer. Last week I was mentioning it was the ministers' conference, and thankfully the ministers' conference went ahead. Normally the few days running up to the ministers' conference, or the very day that the ministers' conference begins, there'll be several men will be crying off, something has happened and they're not able to attend. And this year that just didn't happen at all. And I submitted the numbers for the ministers' conference a week in advance to Robert Robb. And usually near on the day that it starts, I'll send him a finalized list. And I didn't have to this year because it was exactly the same. Nothing had changed. And that was great. There was 40 different men that were able, including the speaker, who were able to be there. And we had six of our retired men who were there, some of them going through various health difficulties, but they were well enough to be there, and they wanted to be there, and it was a real time of blessing. And what encouraged me greatly was how much the speaker enjoyed coming among us, and he delighted in his experience of being there as the speaker, and he was very encouraging as to how good it was to have that fellowship among our ministers. So if you were praying for the ministers' conference, your prayers really were answered, and very thankful for that. So we come to God now in prayer, and if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you as the God who is glorious in all your works. And, O Lord, you are beyond compare. There is none like you. And, O Lord, we rejoice that you are great in all your ways. And you're altogether greater, O Lord, than we are. And we pray that you will forgive us, O Lord, our foolishness, when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and maybe even sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we think of you. And, O Lord, we pray that you will help us to humble ourselves. We pray that you help us to see ourselves as we really are. And, Lord, we pray that humility will spill over to others, that others would benefit, that we would be willing to see them as being more important than ourselves, that we would be willing to serve others and willing to learn from others. And, O Lord, we thank you for how you provide us with people who can teach us in a whole range of ways. And we thank you for different lessons that different people have learned in the course of their lives. And we give thanks, O God, for the things that others have learned and how those things can be a blessing to ourselves. And we delight, O Lord, in your great wisdom and how you share these things around so that we need each other. We give thanks, Lord, for the work of the gospel in East Asia. And we thank you, Lord, for millions and millions of people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ over the last 40 years or so. And we praise you for the great thing that you have done. And we thank you that you have shown yourself, O Lord, to be more powerful than men. And that in lands where the political leadership declare that there is no God, there is the reality of millions upon millions of people believing that there really is a God, that there really is a God, the great triune God of the Scriptures, and that they are looking to you and believing in you and knowing that you have the words of truth. And Lord, we rejoice at how you expose the lies of men. And we pray that you will continue, Lord, to work mightily in that land. And even as people are oppressed by their political leaders, and as the level of fear of the growing church increases, we pray, O Lord, that that will simply serve to encourage your people, and that their faith will grow stronger, and that every knockback they receive will be used by you to increase their strength and their faith. We pray that you will go on building your church. And we thank you, Lord, for the desire that people in that part of the world have to send missionaries out to other lands. And so we pray that that will be the case, and that there will be many missionaries who come with the good news that has come to their land in recent times, and that it will spill over to other lands. And we pray, O Lord, for the old tired countries of the world that have no real place for the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray that these places will be stirred up as people come from afar with the good news. Lord, we ask for wisdom for the session meeting on Wednesday night. We pray that you help us in the matters that we'll be looking at there. We pray for the funeral tomorrow. We ask, Lord, for all who will gather here for that. And we pray that you'll be pleased, Lord, to use the things that are spoken, the things that are heard, for your honor, and that you would work in people's hearts and lives. We give thanks for the ministers' conference that took place in recent days. We thank you for Paul Levy, the pastor from Ealing, who came along to speak. We thank you for the things that he taught in regard to the Scripture teaching about the fear of God and about the advance of the gospel. We thank you for people in his own congregation in recent months who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray that that will continue. We give thanks for things that he was saying about how there's been a bit of a shift in the climate of things in London, and for some encouraging signs, even in the midst of great darkness. And Lord, we pray that that will be the case, that you would cause your church to prosper and flourish there in the leading cities of our kingdom. We pray, Lord, for the studies at the theological college that the men are entering into, And we pray for them that they will love the things that they'll be learning about. We pray for good fellowship among the students and between the students and the staff. And Lord, we look to you. We pray for these new students, and we ask, Lord, that you'll be with them throughout their time at the college. We thank you for the three graduates, the three licentiates that we have, and we pray for Paul Wallace and for John Coulter, as in 3 months' time they will become available to be called. Help them, O Lord, in all their work between now and then. We pray that you will help them to be able to focus and not be thinking too much about what might happen in the future. And we pray for Paul Flynn also, who won't be available until May next year. Pray for him and ask, Lord, that he wouldn't be concerned about the fact that he will be available at a later stage. But we think, Lord, of the many vacancies that exist, and we pray that these men will be called and that they will be able to enter into a particular sphere of ministry. And we pray that you'll raise up others, O Lord, who will serve in that way in the future. We ask for our missionaries that you'll grant encouragements. We pray just for the Nantes situation, as it's only a few days to go before they're due to hear something in regard to the issue of planning permission. We do pray, Lord, that they will be able to go ahead and make a start, and that will be something that will work out well. And we just pray for the conversations that will be had with neighbors about what's happening. And we pray that there wouldn't be any fear or hostility there, but that this will prove to be a good thing in the witness of the fellowship there in Nantes. Lord, we ask now that you'll hear our prayers. Pray that you'll continue to provide for us and help us in day-to-day life. And Lord, we ask for that working of your Holy Spirit in us, making us what you want us to be. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise then the words of Psalm 138. It's the A version of the psalm that we sing, singing the whole psalm. The tune is Rimington, number 28. I'll read stanzas 3 and 4. All kings of earth will thank you, Lord, when from your mouth they hear your words. And of the Lord's ways they will sing, for great's the glory of the Lord. Although the Lord is very high, he looks on those who lowly be, whereas the proud and haughty ones, them only from afar knows he. And God's eye is upon the lowly. And so we see that in all the scriptures. Psalm 138a to tune Rimington 28. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
With all my heart I'll give you thanks. Before the gods I'll sing your praise. I'll toward your holy temple bow and thank you for your truth and grace. I'll give thanks to your name you've set, your word above your name to be. You answered me the day I called. With inner strength you strengthened me. Oh, earth will thank you, Lord, when from your mouth they hear your words, and all the Lord's ways they will sing. For great's the glory of the Lord. Although the Lord is very high, he looks on those who lowly be. Whereas the proud and haughty, he wants them only from afar, no see. Although through trouble I may walk, by you my life preserved will be. Against my foes wrath you stretch out your hand, your right hand rescues me. The purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make. Your love endures forever, her Lord, your own hands works do not forsake.
Now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.